Okay, the first presentation we'd like to do is the one that we always look forward to the most, and that's the financial report. And Vice President Knorr, we wait anxiously to hear what you have to say.
Good morning, my fellow Powerball losers. Happy New Year to all, and Dr. Amarinas, thank you for warming them up for me. You know, I think you were right on point with some of the things I'm going to bring up. It's day 200 without a budget in the state of Illinois.
I just want to check, is his mic on?
I don't know if anything I'm saying is important, but, you know, so
oh, yeah.
Really
probably not. We want to hear you loud and clear, Walt.
Am I on?
Yeah, not yet.
Sally, we'll go to the first. As I said, it was day 200 without a budget in the state of Illinois today. I think that pretty much this first bullet up here is pretty much what you saw in November. I'm afraid it might be what you see at the March meeting. But we just continue to have this tremendous impasse. We have no budget. We have no monetary assistance program money. We have no capital. State grants have been frozen. Capital projects have been stopped. You know, the state capital projects have been stopped. You know, at the university, we could talk the rest of the day about the different rumors about when this is going to be resolved. And the bottom line is, I don't think anybody really has a good grasp on when it's going to happen. You know, when and how much is really just totally undefined. I mean, we're completely even getting beyond the uncharted waters as far as the situation. Nothing like it. Nothing compares. And it's kind of going to start throwing us into some other problems that Dr. Amarita started talking about, and I'll talk about in a few minutes. We now, with the January payment, we are now, if we had an appropriation, we would have billed well over $600 million to the state against an appropriation, as we have done in the past. And it's a situation where I think that we're reached the point where come the February payroll, I think it's really, that probably will not be anything that we can contemplate as being an appropriation for FY16. The state basically has got a terrible cash problem. They have $7 billion as of January 1st in bills and arrears. If we had an appropriation, those bills that I talk about, those would be in that queue to be paid. It's a tough situation with the state, and as you know, the pension payments were not made by the state in November and December, or may have heard they were not paid. You know, they took a pass on making those mandatory payments to the pension plan. I have not heard yet whether or not they've picked up and started making payments again in January to the pension plans. State payments for Medicaid claims have slowed down. Hopefully this is transitional as we move from fee-for-service to managed care. We basically have the provider organizations, and basically it's transitional as the dollars kind of flow through that. But those dollars have fully reported at the hospital committee by Dr. Ghosh, problems with what we call the enhanced payments, Medicaid payments, basically being diffused throughout the system as opposed to coming to the university that they're specified to the university, trying to get that unraveled too. We continue to have great concern for the Medicaid Trust Fund. This is the trust fund that we basically use for Medicaid services, for actual services provided to get the federal match. We've been eking, through the great assistance of Mike Bass, we've been able to eke out some monthly payments from the state. Hopefully we're going to get a February payment to keep the Medicaid Trust Fund, at least keep it flowing. But it continues to be a real problem. I think in all of this is basically kind of an irony. I think we've been invited on March 17th to go to an appropriations hearing, at the state of Illinois. I'm not really sure what year we're going to talk about, but we've been invited to an appropriations hearing. But it's St. Patrick's Day, so we'll enjoy that. The government, the IGPA, the Government and Public Affairs Group, Institute of Government Public Affairs, reported that the state is still growing economically, but it's slowed down tremendously in the fourth quarter of the calendar year of 2015. It also just reported on the bond issue that the state just did last week, and basically reported that they paid a penalty of about $53 million for not, you know, for because of the financial condition that the state was in. And so they made that report, and which is very interesting because we do have a bond issue coming up for the university, and see how we're, how the name Illinois is playing in the market. One piece of good news is we did get the Fire Training Institute, which basically is housed on the Urbana campus. They got their funding, but that came from some special revenue funds, not from GRF. So that was a positive. Today, the Auditor General is going to be releasing the audit report for fiscal year 2015. I guess I'm only licensed, to tell you that it's a clean opinion, unmodified. It's going to be, you know, positive results. And we will fully brief the ABFF committee at the March meeting on the financial report from that's being released today. Congratulations to Vijay Ghosh and Mike Zen on the affirmation of the rating for the hospital given by Standard & Poor's. They gave him the A rating with a stable outlook. I think that holding our own there, I think ultimately they do like the fact that we have the hospital's credits backed up by the medical, by the College of Medicine, and by the medical service plan backs it up. So I think they like that credit. I'd hope that when I wrote this, I would hope that I would be able to report to you that the ratings process that we're going through for the bond issue that hopefully you will approve today would affirm the ratings both from Moody's and from Standard & Poor's. Standard & Poor's did late last night, affirm the rating. This morning, while you were in executive session, we were continuing to converse with Moody's. Moody's is struggling with the affirmation of the rating right now, and clearly it's the state situation, and they're really struggling with the fact that we're rated four notches higher than the state. We're a double A. I mean, with them, we're in a double A3, and the state's a Baa1, so that's four notches, you know, higher than the state. And I think Moody's is really wrestling with that situation. So, but we hope to hear this afternoon what the story is, and I will forward to you that story. I think that the next slide, Sally, would be this is the situation. I put this up here because, and particularly the Trustee Smart with yesterday was asking some questions about the rise in tuition and the tuition, that sticker price. And again, that was the sticker price that was being shown. That's, you know, before we basically apply all the supplemental financial aid and the MAP and all the waivers that are applied to that number. But what we show here all the time, and we have shown, and this is the situation now where we basically, they were at $640 million of unbillable payroll to the state. This is normally what we go against the appropriation, plus the $31 million of MAP we would have expected based on the awards for the first semester. So that would, you know, but neither, we basically are just holding those because of not having any appropriation. Prior years, you can see that one of the reasons that, you know, we basically, the tremendous delay in getting paid. If you go back all the way back to 2009, when we started ratcheting up the tuition, because the state was basically very delayed in making payments. It was 2009, 10, 11, 12. By 13, they owed us the whole appropriation. I mean, they hadn't paid us, and they were paying us a year in arrears, paying us a rear. Yeah. So that was a situation where, as those years went going by, and why the tuition was being, you know, the tuition situation. This is just a simple chart that basically shows that basically for those last 5 years, before this FY16 situation, basically the delay in payments on the receivable from the state. And that goes to this next slide, Sally. I didn't know how to really draw this, the red line with the I just stopped it at 15. In one case, I was just gonna put a question mark next to it, or should I draw the line all the way down to zero, or what should I do? But the run-up of the tuition up to $1,174,000,000 just in 16, that's a run-up of about $75 million. And that's really just the boats rising from basically the graduated senior and basically the rest of the tuition from the freshman, sophomore, and junior classes moving up. And this is probably about two-thirds of this is basically undergraduate tuition. But again, over this period of time, also, you have to take into account the fact that we have probably 13,000 more students at the university. I wanted to go back and talk about the MAP awards and what the problem with the budget is causing, is going to cause, and I think Dr. Amoritas talked about this. I just put up the 15 MAP situation. You have to understand, again, that we are the middleman on MAP. This is basically an agreement between the state through ISAC and the students and their families as far as the awards for financial assistance. And we are the middleman. We are the agent, if you will, for MAP. This is the MAP award. Total for 15 was almost $60 million. What's happening here is basically with the lack of MAP, and assuming that you approve the tuition, it puts us in a dual situation, as we get further and further into this fiscal year and not getting MAP, having to make a definite stance, because in November, the chancellors all put out something that you may be responsible for MAP. And the concern is that word may. What's going to happen if we don't get the MAP? That's a key decision that's going to have to be made about with MAP for 16. It also for 17 basically throws you into wondering what, for purposes of putting together your financial aid packages, what assumptions should you make as far as the financial aid packages for 17 that go with this tuition decision. The other thing is the supplemental financial aid that's basically out there now. $84 million, that's the commitment that was made for FY16. The campuses have to come up with $84 million of supplemental financial aid for the student packages. Now, what are you going to do for 17? What assumptions are you going to make for 17 when you're putting together the financial aid, supplemental financial aid packages, when you have no budget and trying to deal with that? So, those are basically the throw off of the concerns that basically of not having a state budget, not getting MAP awards. I always touch upon just what's happening at the hospital because we watch that closely. We're at break even through November. Dr. Ghosh, Michael Zen, closely managing, the hospital operation, but it is a very tough time. And again, they're dealing with these tremendous growth in the receivables because of the Medicaid situation and what else is going on. Wanted to report, again, the new numbers came out on pensions, for the state. The total of the three, there's five pension funds, there's three major pension funds, but those five pension funds as of June 30th, 2015 are $111 billion unfunded. And of course it's a bit more dead last as far as the liability on pensions as a state, by a long shot actually. And when you look at this, the SERS piece of that liability is $22 million to the State University Retirement System, where the university employees participate. And our share of that liability would be about $9 billion. The university's share of that liability would be about $9 billion. If there's any good news, and maybe this is, again, only appeals to me, this financial report that's coming out that I talked about earlier, we did not have to put that $9 billion on our balance sheet. The accounting rules allowed us to only disclose the extent of that $9 billion, that unfunded liability, and we do not have to put that liability on our balance sheet. Of course, if we had done that, we'd completely wiped out the net position of the university. But we followed the strict accounting rules and it went all the way up to the GASB, the Government Accounting Standards, to get the confirmation that we were treating it correctly. But I'm going to finish with a few slides that I talked to the rating agencies. I give to the rating agencies. It's not just we just don't load them up with all this with all the financial data and the cash flows and all that kind of stuff. But we really pound on things like for the financial achievement at the university, including UIC having record enrollments, UIS having substantially increased enrollments, UIUC sixth consecutive year of record enrollments, touting their graduation rates, four applicants for every freshman slot. In fact, when we were talking to them, we noticed that just in Urbana alone, January the 10th of this year versus January 10th, the applications to Urbana were already up over 4,000, and so they can see the demand for the campuses. When we 51,000 applications for first-time freshmen to the university, and the graduation rates, tout the graduation rates, and as Dr. Amaritas talked about, basically that our student loan and default rates are well below the national averages. So we tout all that with the rating agencies. The other thing we tout, particularly when we have no GRF coming in, is basically the strength of the rest of our revenues coming to the university, including the payments on behalf situation is basically coming from the state, the income fund or tuition, basically the strength there, the auxiliaries, the institutional funds. This is the dollars that come in from indirect cost recoveries, from royalties. We also, the extent of the research and the gifts, our donors, support from our donors, and the continued performance of the hospital and the medical service plan. The thing here is the diversity of revenues, and basically they're all continue to be strong coming in for the university for purposes of keeping the rating. We tout the research again. These are the latest available numbers, 2014, where the university in total, as far as research expenditures, was ranked number 9. We put this up against essentially the rest of the Big Ten, but we put up Northwestern's in the Big Ten, but we also put up the University of Chicago. We throw that in here just to to show off. But ranked number 9. I think if you look at to the left side, most of those also are basically all have medical centers, which basically help particularly with the NIH funding. So we tout this with the rating agencies. Certainly our position as a premier research institution. Lastly, we talk about the budget for research. The federal budget, it looks good. The omnibus budget for 16, basically for all 12 of the major research areas, basically showed increases over the prior year. For us, particularly NSF and NIH, basically good funding there. And FY17, and they could see this, basically all word coming out of the federal government is that that looks going to be positive, consistent, for 17. So the dollars, the opportunity should still continue to be there, and the university would continue to be there. So I will close without anything in talking to the rating agencies. The question they're asking that's impossible to answer is, how do you think you're going to do in FY16? They're asking that question. Now, if anybody has a better answer, then we don't know. We basically have told them, without knowing the extent of the appropriation, it's almost impossible to tell how we're going to do in FY16 performance wise. That's it.
Okay, questions. Going back on one of your previous slides where you talk about the amount that's coming from the state for retirement, what percent of it is the ongoing and what percent is trying to catch up?
Well, probably the total cost of pensions of that payments on behalf number is probably about $600 million of that $1.1 billion, about $600 million, and probably about close to $400 million is the unamortized portion, basically the unfunded amortization. That basically the state fully recognizes they have responsibility for, and that's why we didn't have to pick it up on our balance sheet. The state. Acknowledges they have the legal obligation to pick up and amortize that cost. The other $200 million is what we would call the normal cost. And I think that's one of the things where we basically have a thought that perhaps the state's going to start asking us to pick up that cost or a portion of that cost.
Right. Yes, Rick?
This may be a question for Christophe Pierre as well, but I'm just wondering, given all that's going on with the state budget and the MAP grant specifically, there's been a lot of written, certainly from the media angle, that there are certain universities that are not seeing students return for the second semester. So I'm wondering what the impact of that is for the University of Illinois and its system, and also if they don't come back, so not only do we not get that MAP revenue from the state, there's certainly some revenue that they have themselves that's they bring to the university. Without that, that puts us in an even worse situation. I'm just wondering how you're all thinking about this.
Yeah, we have not, I believe we've not seen this in the spring semesters. Students have returned, and our enrollments are what we predicted them to be. I think it's very important for us to set a course and send a message that we're open for business, and part of the tuition proposal is part of that.
And if I may add one other thing, Rick, I think this situation is affecting stronger the perceived weaker institutions in the state. As a result, I can tell you that UIC for next fall, we have seen almost a 20% increase in applications and admissions that we have made by now, with a very significant portion of these being in underrepresented minorities, that they are coming in stronger numbers to us. And I think it's a combination, of course, of being good in Chicago, but also some of the concerns about the other institutions.
Yeah.
Do you want to comment? I think there's no indication that there's a slackening in the applications or the demand side. And I think, in a way, there is a shift in the selectivity. So our product and our affordability and the excellence of our is actually, I think, putting us in a very strong position with regard to applications. But we're keeping close attention to that, and we'll report in regularly as that unfolds this next year.
Yeah, one would argue, if I may,
sure,
that this is part of the overall plan in government right now, that the weeding out of some of the weaker institutions, whether they're in education or the nonprofit sector, and certainly the stronger institutions have the capacity to move forward. We're one of those. I get that completely. My question is really more about, so what if this goes on further? There's talk about not having a budget for having a two-year budget rather than a one-year budget. And if you're not getting the MAP dollars, when are we and I get people are interested in this university, and the applications are much higher. But what about the kids that don't get the MAP grants? And have we seen any of them to a significant level leave the university for the second semester? Because that's being reported. I just want to make sure that what's being reported in the media is jiving with what is actually happening on the ground.
It's definitely happening with some other institutions, but not with the University of Illinois, from what I understand.
And I think part of the reason is because we have been so far supporting everybody with the MAP. Now, what happens this semester is really a question of can we afford to continue doing it. There are other institutions. The story, for example, in the Wall Street Journal was referring specifically to community colleges, that they have said that if you don't have MAP, we're not going to give you credit for it this semester, and therefore people decide they cannot go.
I just might add a comment. I know that, Walt, you had that pie chart that showed the 357 million of MAP total. 148 of that was private nonprofit. 39 of that was two-year. In addition, and much of the press commentary right now, Rick, has been on the four-year public and talking about various criticisms and concerns about that, but not a lot of conversation about the whole pie, the whole thing that's being done. And had a conversation last week where the concern is, are really the parents and the students who are affected communicating their concern? And apparently that's not getting through right now. And I think if there's one thing that we can come away from this is encouraging that constituent to communicate to the executive and legislative branches about their concern about it, in addition to the concerns that have been expressed by the leadership from the institution. So very important. Any other comments or questions about the whole presentation that Walt went through? All right. Walt, again, thank you very much. Appreciate all your efforts and what you do.